fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. It's Peter Herbeck, your host. And today I want to talk about the feast that we're celebrating here in the church, the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter. The Chair of St. Peter in Rome, we celebrate the unique authority of the Vicar of Christ. Our Pope today, Pope Francis, stands in that long apostolic tradition where St. Peter himself, appointed by Christ to be the bearer of the keys and the authority of the church and to guide the church and be the symbol of unity among all the bishops in the universal church. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today and what that means. But I'll begin by looking at the gospel reading, Matthew chapter 16. It's that beautiful encounter with Jesus and Peter when Jesus asks the fundamental question, "Who do you say that I am?" You know, he asked his apostles who were gathered that fundamental question, and at different points that some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, and then he dials in on Peter himself and looks at Peter and said, "Peter, essentially, who do you say that I am?" So here's the reading. When Jesus went to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some said John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" St. Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Such a fundamentally important passage for the whole church and the whole Christian community. Jesus establishes Peter as the vicar of Christ. That is, he stands in the person of Jesus. Jesus is the head of his church. And he delegates authority to St. Peter in a unique way, as the Catholic Church has always understood it. He's given the keys. He's given the authority. And today we remember the chair of Peter. And what does the chair means? The cathedra. In every diocese in America, there's a cathedral church. And in that cathedral church is a chair, the cathedra, the chair of the bishop. And that chair symbolizes something. It's the place where the bishop sits when he gathers his people. There's celebrations and for Eucharist. And it's symbolic of his authority. The bishop there is a direct descendant, a successor of Christ. He's in the apostolic succession. The authority has come right down from Jesus to Peter and through the apostles, and then from the apostles to all the successors to the apostles. And they share in the authority of Christ, the unique authority that's been delegated to them as really the chief shepherd, you might say, of their diocese. And that chair is a symbol both of the authority of the bishop who stands in the person of Christ in a unique way, and all the priests in that diocese, that particular diocese, participate in the calling there of the bishop in a unique way. They're the extension of his authority, his sacramental ministry, his preaching and teaching, and his shepherding throughout the diocese. And it represents his magisterium, that is his teaching authority. So it's in the ancient world, many times when rulers would teach, they'd teach from the throne. They would be seated. And so that whole image of who the bishop is now, on a larger scale, you have Peter, you have the vicar of Christ, presides uniquely with unique authority over the Catholic Church worldwide. Read what the Catechism says about it in paragraph 882. It says, "The Pope, the Bishop of Rome and Peter's successor, is the perpetual and visible source and foundation of the unity both of bishops and of the whole company of the faithful." So here's the essence of what the Church understands the role of Peter to be, the Pope, and what that chair symbolizes. It says, he's the perpetual and visible source and foundation of unity. So the bishops of the world have their unique relationship with the Pope, and together there's a college of bishops united to Peter have a unique authority. Now, it's interesting, if you read what the Catechism says here, that Peter gathers. Peter's the sign of unity. He's the foundation of the church's unity. He exists to protect and to guide that overall unity, not just in his own diocese in Rome, but to oversee it for the whole church. And so there's a way in which that unity is first unity among the bishops, those who are descendants of the apostles, and then unity among the faithful themselves. We're all gathered around, if you could think about the church, one vision or one way to see the church is the gathering of God's people. Right? It's all the people who've been baptized into Christ, who share, who are members of Christ's body, Christ the head. Now we've all brought from death to life in Jesus. We've all become temples of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord gathers us into living, vital communities. And those communities are expressed in a variety of ways in the church. So one typical way is in a diocese, and then a diocese is broken down into parishes, and then parishes themselves have ways in which they organize themselves for people to experience that unity in concrete ways in small groups and the like. But the parish is a small community of a broader community of a diocese. And that broader community of a diocese is gathered together in the universal church that is presided over by St. Peter, or by the descendants of St. Peter, the vicar of Christ. The chair of Peter has that unique authority to speak. And here's what the Catechism says about that authority, how it's exercised. Let's just read some of these paragraphs here. So 882 says, "For the Roman pontiff, by reason of his office as vicar of Christ, who stands in the person of Christ on our behalf and exercises that unique delegated authority that we read in Matthew, says, and as pastor of the entire church, has full, supreme, and universal power over the whole church, a power which he can always exercise unhindered. There's nobody else in the church that has that unique authority. So when Jesus gave the keys to St. Peter, he gave him really the authority of the church. The key, it's another symbol from the ancient world. You were given, the king or the emperor would give a key to somebody who was given authority to stand in his place to represent him and to have authority over the whole city or the whole realm, you might say. So again, I want to read this from 882. "For the Roman pontiff, by reason of his office as vicar of Christ and as pastor of the entire church, has full, supreme, and universal power over the whole church, a power which he can always exercise unhindered." So that's the unique expression of the authority of the chair of Peter. Paragraph 883, it says, "The college or body of bishops has no authority unless it's united with the Roman pontiff, Peter's successor as its head." It's very interesting, very important to understand. The college of bishops and the body of bishops as a whole, they cannot act with any kind of authority apart from the person of the Pope, the Roman Pontiff. And so that collective authority they have as bishops is expressed only when they're united to the successor of Peter. That's one of the ways that the unity was talked about earlier that Peter represents and the chair represents is concretely expressed. It's not just symbolic. It's also a real unity in the exercise of the authority and teaching of Jesus over his church. It says, as such, this college has supreme and full authority over the universal church, but this power cannot be exercised without the agreement of the Roman pontiff. So the way this is expressed in its highest form is in an ecumenical council, for example, like in the Second Vatican Council, when all the bishops of the world gathered around and with the successor of Peter. So they exercise their full authority, governing authority, over the church only in unity with Peter. In paragraph 884, it says, "The College of Bishops exercises power over the universal church in a solemn manner in ecumenical council," what I was just expressing. But there's never an ecumenical council which is not confirmed or it's recognized as such by Peter's successor. Paragraph 885, "This college, insofar as it is composed of many members, is the expression of the variety and universality of the people of God and of the unity of the flock of Christ, insofar as it is assembled under one head." So the vicar of Christ, the Pope, represents Christ in a unique way. We know a priest is an alter Christus. He's another Christ. And the bishop, in an even more expansive and fuller way, represents the person of Christ. But then Peter stands as the visible head of Christ. He's the sign that Christ is the head of the church, because he's what? The unique delegate of Jesus for that position to be the overall authority for the church on the earth. It's a beautiful thing, and it's been a tremendous service, and it's exercised in service. And we can see how in the first reading today from Peter's first letter, chapter 5, the whole letter is so rich, and you see in the letter the transformation that Peter's undergone from the one who denied even knowing Christ. In the reading we read from the Gospels, the famous scene where Peter identifies who Christ is by virtue of really a work of the Holy Spirit. He said, flesh and blood, Peter, didn't reveal to you that I am the Christ. Jesus is God's Messiah. That's what Peter was confessing. The Messiah of the Jews, one that would be sent, the one that would come to rule and fulfill every prophetic word about the Messiah, Peter is saying, is fulfilled in Jesus. And then Jesus said, Peter, you're blessed. You didn't come up with that on your own, but my Father in heaven revealed to you the mystery, the fundamental truth about who I am as Messiah and Savior of the whole world. And then he extends to Peter his authority, as we read. Then later, you know, one of the reasons it says, Jesus goes on to describe the fact that he's about to suffer and he's going to die. And then Peter jumps in and says, no, Lord, no way. And then what does Jesus say to Peter? Just as he had been given the keys, he says, Peter, get behind me, Satan. Right? Get behind me, Satan. Why? Because Peter was not acting in the spirit there. He was acting in the flesh. And he was going to stand in the way, not understanding really what he was saying. He was going to stand in the way of God's purpose unfolding in the life of Jesus for the sake of the salvation of the world. Friends, we're in the season of Lent when we look toward and we're moving toward the celebration, really walking with Jesus through his passion, his death, and resurrection. Peter's a great character in the scripture to walk out this whole season with, because Peter confronted in his own life, or was forced to confront in his own life, his own sinfulness, his own pride, his weakness, and his fear. And we see that so clearly on Holy Thursday night when Peter does just what he said he would never do. He denies knowing Christ three times. So Peter, to me, is such an encouraging character. And look who Jesus gives the keys to the kingdom to. In some ways, I don't know, I've always felt like John the Apostle might have been more faithful to the Lord. Just Peter was kind of, his weaknesses were so manifest. But so was his natural authority and then the grace that was building on nature in his life to be able to lead the brethren in the mission that they were called to do, and of course to follow ultimately in Jesus' footsteps and to die for him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 4, Peter's exhorting the community that he's been shepherding, talking to them about how authority ought to be exercised in the church. He says, beloved, I exhort the presbyters among you as a fellow presbyter and witness to the sufferings of Christ. That's Peter. He witnessed the sufferings of Christ firsthand, and one who has a share in the glory to be revealed. This is so beautiful. The apostles have such clarity about what has been accomplished in Jesus, that he's passed from death to life, and he's entered into glory, and he's taken with him human flesh, and he's established in his own body the new creation and the new humanity, and seeing the glory of God animating human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ, Peter said, this is our destiny. This is what he told us, and I will share in the glory, as will you. And then he says, tend the flock of God in your midst, overseeing not by constraint, but willingly, as God would have it. Not for shameful profit, but do it eagerly. Do not lord it over those assigned to you, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd is revealed, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So Peter's saying, here's how we exercise authority in the church, just like Jesus told us. Men of the world, even the Pharisees, lord it over whom they have authority. But it shouldn't be that with you. Remember Jesus, the night of the Last Supper, when he bent down himself and took off his cloak and washed the feet of the apostles. The leaders of the church are foot washers. That's why Pope Francis is such a beautiful image of that reality, that the church exercises that authority as did Jesus, our shepherd. And if we follow him, we will share in the unfading crown of glory that belongs to him. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.